Bodily distress is notorious above 25,000 feet, the area known to climbers as the death zone. But many people become severely debilitated, even dangerously ill, at heights of no more than 15,000 feet or so. Susceptibility has little to do with fitness. Grannies sometimes caper about in lofty situations, while their fitter offspring are reduced to helpless, groaning heaps until conveyed to lower altitudes. The absolute limit of human tolerance for continuous living appears to be about 5,500 meters, or 18,000 feet. But even people conditioned to living at altitude could not tolerate such heights for long. Francis Ashcroft, in Life at the Extremes, notes that there are Andean sulphur mines at 5,800 meters, but that the miners prefer to descend 460 meters each evening and climb back up the following day, rather than live continuously at that elevation. People who habitually live at altitude have often spent thousands of years developing disproportionately large chests and lungs, increasing their density of oxygen-bearing red blood cells by almost a third, though there are limits to how much thickening with red cells the blood supply can stand. Moreover, above 5,500 meters, even the most well-adapted women cannot provide a growing fetus with enough oxygen to bring it to its full term. In the 1780s, when people began to make experimental balloon ascents in Europe, something that surprised them was how chilly it got as they rose. The temperature drops about 3 degrees Fahrenheit with every 1,000 feet you climb. Logic would seem to indicate that the closer you get to a source of heat, the warmer you would feel. Part of the explanation is that you are not really getting nearer the sun in any meaningful sense. The sun is 93 million miles away. To move a couple of 1,000 feet closer to it is like taking one step closer to a bushfire in Australia when you are standing in Ohio and expecting to smell smoke. The answer, again, takes us back to the question of the density of molecules in the atmosphere. Sunlight energizes atoms. It increases the rate at which they jiggle and jounce, and in their enlivened state they crash into one another, releasing heat. When you feel the sun warm on your back on a summer's day, it's really excited atoms you feel. The higher you climb, the fewer molecules there are, and so the fewer collisions between them. Air is deceptive stuff. Even at sea level, we tend to think of the air as being ethereal and all but weightless. In fact, it has plenty of bulk, and that bulk often exerts itself. As a marine scientist named Wyville Thomson wrote more than a century ago, "We sometimes find when we get up in the morning, by a rise of an inch in the barometer, that nearly half a ton has been quietly piled upon us during the night. But we experience no inconvenience, rather a feeling of exhilaration and buoyancy, since it requires a little less exertion to move our bodies in the denser medium. The reason you don't feel crushed under that extra half ton of pressure is the same reason your body would not be crushed deep beneath the sea. It is made mostly of incompressible fluids, which push back, equalizing the pressures within and without."